The Gainwa has always been a reliable place to get an affordable meal in Vancouver's Chinatown. The menu featured 10 dishes for $9 each. About three dozen low-income people lived in the single-room occupancy, or SROs, housing above the restaurant in Chinatown. Gainwa had a coupon system for people in need of a meal. Sometimes, if people came in with no money, they would still get some food. But decades of reliable service came to a halt after a fire caused significant damage to the restaurant. It has not only impacted the restaurant, its staff, but also the very residents who live in the SROs. Joining me now to discuss the importance of the Gainwa is Nicholas Young from the SRO Collaborative. Nick, thanks for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Talk to me about the importance of Gainwa and what it meant for the community.
The importance for Gainwa is that it's probably the only restaurant in Chinatown that is, that is serving low-income Siders and Chinatown communities that serve both communities. And it's also a place where, that open late until 10-ish, even though during the pandemic. And it's a place where, people who are hurt or traumatized or, who have went through hardship in their life would like to go there, and they have a shared space to talk about, the experience or just to have company. It's a community coping mechanism.
When you heard about the restaurant and the people who run the restaurant and what they've gone through, were you motivated right away to do something about it?
Yes. Everyone pretty much heard about the fire the day that it happened on September 9th. And we received an overwhelmed, of message of people saying that let them know how they can support. And we have started a fundraiser the day after that to support them. And we, in 5 days, we have raised 2,500 something. And to now, 8 to 9 days after, we have already raised a free $35,000, which is over our goal by 5,000. We also kickstart another fundraiser under SRO Collaborative, where we focus on another 30,000 for the tenants upstairs. Yeah, we're hoping that we can fundraise 30,000 so that we can give each tenant some money to restart their life.
Mm-hmm. Is there any conversation right now of the restaurant opening, or is the owner in this case going to go into retirement?
We are not sure yet. I just talked to him today. We still have to know more about, the inspector, the insurance inspector, and also, want to see, how does the landlord feel about this and, how much costs for the reparation. But we are looking into it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We'll try to learn more about the costs and the options, and we're in discussion right now.
Why was this particular restaurant so important? You talked to me a little bit about your experience going there, eating there, and why you liked it.
Yeah, when I was a student, I studied art. I have nothing to do with the community. I just go there and, listen to different people talking about experience. There will be, a key player in Chinatown and down inside going there, to talk about campaigns, to talk about different programs to help people, and I was just there to listen. And then there will be also, low-income folks sharing the experience and their hardship that day, or the challenges that they go through. So I was able to expose to pretty much the whole downtown inside China community just by sitting there and listen. And when I graduate and start become a community organizer with SRO Collaborative, I go there even more because the work is really hard and often work differently hours. I go there, talk to the owner, talk to the staff, and they give me a lot of support, not just only to me, but also to other organizers or people who defend and try to protect this community. And it really built a very strong sense of unity and also bonding. Yeah. And this place means a lot to me. It shaped who I am today and also shaped a lot of other organizers.
Mm-hmm. Chinatown itself, in regards to the crime in the neighborhood from the downtown east side, we've talked about obviously this fire and the impact. How would you describe Chinatown today in regards to some of its challenges in the last little while?
I think Chinatown has never been, it's always a place where there's challenges. There's also a place where people with different living experience come together and share a community, even though everyone have different perspective of it. Obviously, right now, the biggest problem is, you know, housing issues, gentrification, and also the whole intangible cultural heritage application process, and also low-income residents' living conditions, and, you know, welfare, stuff like that. Even though it's really hard, we also have break a lot of grounds. For example, SRO Collaborative has successfully, you know, built a network for Chinatown SRO tenants, which has never been done before. And also we have, YARO, intergenerational societies. We have second mile societies and a lot of different awesome organizations who are doing groundbreaking works and to build a more solid community, which a lot of them were isolated before, but now because of the pandemic, we did our hard work and we broke some on that. So it's always like new challenges, but building new resilience. I, as an organizer, obviously focus on the positive sides and focus on, you know, humanity and also focus on people's resilience. So that always energized me and keep me going. And I think that's the same feeling for a lot of people in Chinatown.
Mm-hmm. Nicholas, if people did want to donate money, where should they go to donate money to help people who lost their homes or to the family, of course, that had obviously the restaurant burn and be damaged? Where can they donate money?
Right. They can go to GoFundMe and search SRO Collaborative or search Kifu Room, and they should be able to find the link for the fundraiser.
Well, Nicholas, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, really appreciate you having me today. Thank you.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone, like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.